Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your... I like that, the mercies of God. Oh, God, have mercy on us. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies. He's telling us as believers something that we must do after salvation. God doesn't do this for us when we get saved. It's something we must do. Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or other translations say spiritual worship. There's more to worship than just, I love you, Lord. I lift my voice. There's living a holy life. That's what he's talking about, presenting our bodies. In other words, not living for the lust of our flesh, not just doing every little whim and desire of our flesh. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. He's not asking us to die. He wants us to be living. Amen. Living sacrifice. Amen. The problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps wanting to crawl off the altar. Anybody got flesh like me? You say, Lord, thy will be done, whatever you say to me. And he says, cut this off, stop doing that. And you're like, I think I'm going to crawl off the altar. Blah, 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 blah. No, he said he wants a living sacrifice. We could spend more time on that, but holy, acceptable unto God. How many of you know holy is the only thing acceptable to God? Don't you like just meditating on verses rather than just read them quick? You just meditate, holy, acceptable. Oh, holy is acceptable. Unto God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world. Let me back up. I'm not done with verse 1. It says that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. What does he want to do with our body? He wants to use it. What we're to do is present it to him as usable to him. I said he wants to use it. In other words, present it. In other words, he's not going to take it. He's not going to say, now I'm going to take that person's body and use it. No, we have to give it to him. It has to be an offer that we make to him, a something we present to him and say, I'm done using my body for my plans, my will, you know, what I want to do in my life. I give my strength, I give my energy, I give my the body to use to do what God wants me to do. I mean, you know, when we had a service a while back that we talked about making Jesus Lord. People that do this are making him Lord. I mean, it's just not, I got saved, I'm going to take it to heaven, you know. I'm going to actually live for the Lord. And part of that means presenting our body for him to use. He said, I want you to spend some time doing this. Okay, that's what I'll use my energy for. I'll use my strength for and so forth and so on. All right, so anyway, just wanted to catch that. Then he said, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed. God's plan for us is the next part, but be ye transformed. That's the flow of God. That's the plan of God for all of our lives. It's the transformed life, going from glory to glory. Amen. Be not conformed to this world. Conformity happens without effort. It's a little like floating downstream. Anybody can float downstream. To be transformed, you're going to have to go against stream. Because the flow of the world and even carnal Christians is conformity to the flow of the world out there. Yes, sir. If Hollywood's doing it, if it's famous or popular in the movies or secular music or all of that, then they take on that conformity. They're just in that flow. To be transformed, you're going to have to go against that. So you're going against the current, plus you're going against every old dead fish floating down the current. You know, you got things coming at you. People think you're strange. People think you're weird. You go to church on Wednesday night, too. Be not conformed to this world. There's more than we have time to get into on that, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh. A lot of this has to do with the way we think. The way we think. Amen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. All right. Now, also, go with me. Well, before we go over there, what this is, Romans 12, 1 and 2, is really a work of sanctification wrought in the believer through the Word and the Holy Spirit. This is the most necessary thing for both verse 1 and 2, the two most necessary things for the believer once they get saved. Two most necessary things. If you want to put baptism of the Holy Spirit before that, that'd be fine. But right after that, because you need all the help of the Spirit to get to do this. And if believers would emphasize this, a lot of this out here would fix itself. Because we would be brought into conformity to the flow of God, how He does it. Oh, I went ahead and started preaching. A lot of times people don't realize, but the only way the devil really can contact a person, even a believer, is, the believer. The only way the devil can contact a believer, because the unbelievers are under his dominion, but the only way the devil can contact a believer is through their unrenewed mind or their unpresented body. If they don't think wrong and they don't do wrong things with their body, that closes a whole lot of doors to the enemy. The reason Satan is so active in many believers' lives is because they have the door open to him. And to him, an open door is an invitation. Oh, I'll go in there. Let's see what's in here. Oh, I hear something I can mess up. And so he'll get in through the unrenewed mind and the unpresented body. A lot of times people say the devil, or cast the spirit out of me. A lot of times it's just crucify the flesh and renew the mind to think differently. The devil wouldn't have near the heyday. Why has he not got that heyday in my life or other people's lives? Why is he just working on you so hard? Maybe it's not you, but I'm talking about people that are always gotten problems with the devil. Why is it you and not me? Now, he opposes all of us, but he doesn't get in. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He comes up to all of us to try, but he can't get in. Remember Ephesians said 4:27, neither give place to the devil. So this is a hugely important thing. The devil gets in through wrong thinking. Remember the Bible said we're not ignorant of his devices. Let Satan should get the advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Ignorance gives him the advantage. Ignorance of the Word. Ignorance of God, of the things of God. All right. So, but that's what he's talking about here. And when he says don't be conformed to this world and present your body and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he's talking about a work of sanctification. We've got to come out of the world's way of thinking, come out of just doing what our flesh wants, which is basically what spiritually dead people do. You can read that in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1. You hath he quickened who were dead. We were all dead spiritually before we were quickened. Quickened means made alive or born again. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Notice that. Notice because of sins, that's where we all died. Notice we were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were all under Satan's dominion. Notice. The Spirit now worketh in the children to disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, lifestyle, in time past. This is talking about when we were dead. How many of you know those that are still spiritually dead are in this? We all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of. Here's the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is mentioned. Then he breaks the lust of the flesh into two categories. We fulfill in the lust of our flesh. Now I got out of the flow of it, and I can't remember how it says. You who were dead in trespasses, saying you walked according to the course of this world, prince power of the air, spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's the two areas of the lust of the flesh. Somebody said, well, I thought lust of the flesh is in the flesh. Well, it is, but there's part of it in your mind. Your mind wants to think carnally. You know it. You know it. Don't look at me like that. You know. Mine does. I mean, if I let it go, it'll go, whoa. I was like, hey, get back here. You got to do that to the mind just like you got to do that to the body. Paul said, I keep my body under. Well, you got to also hold fast to your mind and your thought life, or else it'll be crazy within 5 minutes. You go, hey, mate, get back here. Get back here. You're mine. You don't go where you want. You go where I tell you to. This is a work of sanctification. Separating us from the world, from the sin of the world, from the flesh, from the unrenewed mind. Learning to think like God. Remember Isaiah 55 talks about my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As my ways are higher and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And then he invites us to take his thoughts because he said, I send my word, take my thoughts, think my thoughts after me. And oh, the joy of doing that. It separates you from all the harassment and stuff that people talk about. And I'm convinced most of the reason most Christians are on medications is because of what I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about somebody, you know, got maybe the flu or something and took something. I'm talking about they're on these antidepressants and they're living on all these medications. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Maybe there's some situations that are different, but I'm convinced most of it. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice that. You and I will never walk in the perfect will of God without renewing our minds. You and I can walk down through this life down here, their entire life, and think we've fulfilled the perfect will of God. But if we didn't renew our mind, we're not going to fulfill the will of God, and we'll find that out when we get there. Because there's some things God won't even talk to us about until we can handle it. And renewing our mind is a big key to handling it. Because if we don't renew our mind, we'll handle it mentally and get out of harmony and we'll say, I don't think so. I'm going. God said, go north. We're going south. Like Jonah. But so let's look at this. Notice he said, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove out. And discern, actually, the Greek says, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. One reason we'll never fulfill the perfect will of God or we'll never be usable to God without renewing our mind is because, first of all, we won't even know it. We won't even know what God's will is because we're thinking wrong. It might try to come up out of our spirits because God talks in our spirit. But whenever it comes up, our mind's going, no. It sets it aside. And because know this, God talks to our heart, not our head. God is a spirit. And so being a spirit, that's the realm that he broadcasts his signal in. So that's where we're going to pick it up is in our spirits, not our minds. But, and so, and also where faith is in our heart. Faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. And so it's the heart that picks these things up and believes what God is saying to us. But then see, in order to walk it out, it's going to have to float up to our mind and renew our, we're going to have to think right about it. And so, remember, I don't know if you've ever read the Bible carefully, but it talks about our conscience bears us witness. It's not talking about the inner witness. The inner witness is the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. But Romans 9, 1, 2, down and through there, talks about our conscience bearing us witness. The inner witness is the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. But the conscience bearing us witness is our spirit talking to us. The conscience is the voice of your spirit. I'm quickly going through something. I've got to get to something here tonight. But see, what happens is the Holy Spirit bears witness with something about his plan for our life in our spirits. And then our spirits picks that up because that's the realm the signal's broadcast in. Our spirits pick that up. But you see, in order to walk it out in this realm, we're going to have our mind renewed to it. And so it'll float up out of our spirit and the voice of our own conscience. You notice the difference what I'm talking about? One is the inner witness of spirit bearing witness with our spirit. And then our conscience is the voice of our spirit. And the voice of our spirit will pass it on to our mind. Yes. And enlighten our mind to it. Yes. We get quiet in prayer and something comes up out of our spirits. Yes. Or a little still small voice. Hey, this is the way you need it to go. Sometimes it's an inner witness and we sense it because we get real quiet, but sometimes it's the conscience passing it on to our mind. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
When that happens, the inner witness is passing it on to our spirit, and then our spirit's trying to pass it on to our mind. When that happens, sometimes we are open to it and listen to it, sometimes not, because our mind sometimes doesn't understand what's coming. That doesn't make sense. I don't know why God would be like I just mentioned buying that house.
Right.
My mind is like, well, over here's the one that's got the nice big windows out the back. I mean, over here's, but see, it had something else in here. Yeah. Now, I'm not just talking about finances here tonight. I'm talking about us being usable to God for the work of God. I'm going to get to that. But whenever our spirit tries to pass it on to our minds can't process faith. Our minds, whenever it doesn't, when our mind doesn't understand, get this, if it's not renewed, it'll kick it out. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense. So I'm just going to kick that out. Doesn't make sense. But see, I've said many times, when the leading of the Spirit, now people hear that and they think that I'm talking about just living without any good sense, but I'm not. But the leading of the Spirit is not to make sense, it's to make faith.
Amen.
I'm not talking about just living stupid and without any sense. I'm talking about when you go to do something and I don't have any peace about it, but over here's the peace, but it doesn't make sense. I mean, in our head, it doesn't make sense. If you don't have an inner witness, just walk in good sense.
Amen.
This is good pastoral preaching tonight. But I'm talking about whenever something comes up that doesn't make sense. Well, in order to walk it out, your mind is going to have to accept it. Because you won't walk it out if your mind doesn't accept it. But the mind can't process faith. So what does the mind have to do in order to go along with it? It has to be renewed to it. Listen very carefully. It has to be renewed to it to the point that it no longer... See, the renewed mind doesn't push aside what comes up out of the spirit, up out of your heart. The renewed mind agrees with God in your heart. It might not understand it all, but it says yes. I know God's talking to me in my heart, and it says, I agree. I might not understand it, but I agree. See, faith is not of the head. And when you're saying, I agree, that's mentally agreeing, but that's not faith. But see, in order for faith to work, you have to go along with it, with your agreement. You understand? Even though you might not understand it all, there's a lot of things I do I don't understand why I'm doing this. I didn't say I just live mindless or you know, silly or irresponsible. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when I get this in my heart, in something in here, and my head doesn't understand, but I get it settled that God's talking to me to do this. I renew my mind to it, and I say, well, I don't understand it, but I agree, and I will go along with that. In my thinking, in the area of, I'm going to go this direction, this is the will of God. Not that my thinking understands it all, it just agrees that we're going to go this direction. Even though it's saying, I still don't understand. But see, my mind is renewed enough that it stops fighting me on everything. Now, Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12, verses 1, 2, and 3 down in through there. It talks about the heroes of faith, just mentioned in chapter 11. And then he says, seeing then we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Talking about all these people that have gone before us, walked by faith. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. I was reading that one day, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. And he said, an unrenewed mind is a weight. Oh, did it ever, explosions of light started going off on the inside of me. What do I mean by, or what did the Lord mean by that? It's a weight that, he's talking about running our race. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, run with patience the race that's set before us. Do you know there's a plan that God has laid out for your life? It's called here, the race that's set before you. It might be different than my race. There's a lot of similarities because generally the will of God is the same for all of us. But specifically, there's going to be some differences. And so that's the race laid out in front of us. And he's saying, lay aside everything that would keep you from running that race or slow you down. It's not enough just to be running it. We must run and not be hindered with weights. Because we got to get across the finish line before we die. I mean, that's kind of blunt, but that's the way it is. You don't have forever down here to run this race. So you're not getting any younger. Brother Don's not, I know that. Sit on the front row, you get... None of us are getting any younger. And so, you know, I more and more I think about now, I'm 50, what am I, 52? 50, I believe 52, 53, whatever, somewhere. After a while, it doesn't matter. You young people, it's all important. After a while, it doesn't matter. What matters, am I where I'm supposed to be? That's what matters. Oh, he's 21 and I'm 20. Forget it. After a while, it doesn't matter. Pastor Debbie's 2 years older than me, but still, I'm still more mature than she is. God. I hope she's watching. No, but see, you're not getting any younger. And the more older I get, the more I realize, wait a minute. This isn't going to be forever in the flesh down here. It's going to be forever with God, you know, in eternity. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about running this race in the flesh down here. There's going to come a day whenever I'm going to go on to be with him. Amen. Now, I understand I have something to do with that. I love what Pastor Nancy has said over and over again. The Lord spoke to her to say it. That's why she keeps saying it. Tell my people, long life is connected to my plan. In other words, if you and I want to live long, we got to stay in the plan of God. But still, we're not going to live down here forever. And so, well, I'm dilly-dallying, but let me get back to here. A renewed mind, the Lord said to me one time, an unrenewed mind, excuse me, is a weight that you don't need to carry with you for the rest of your life. Now, what does a weight do? It slows you down. You know, we're not progressing on the plan of God for our life in the race that he set before us just because we're getting older. We can get older and not be making progress. See, spiritual progress is totally different than getting older physically. Totally different. It's not tied at the hip. It's not like you're getting older, so you're progressing in God. Not necessarily. Paul told some Christians over there in Hebrews, and actually he told some Christians in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, for the time you ought to be teachers, yet you have need that one teach you again. He's talking to them. I'm not saying that to you. I'm just simply saying that Paul was referring to a group of people that they had become, they ought to be teachers for the time, but they had become such as have need of milk. Notice that. They became. In other words, they had come out of that, but then they became that again. In other words, they had gone forward, but then they went back. They were getting older. You know, every one of them was getting older. They were counting birthdays. The ones he were talking to was to get, they were counting birthdays just like you and I are counting birthdays. But he said, you regressed. You went back. So spiritual growth is not automatic because we're getting older. Okay, I'm taking way too much time on this. But the what he's saying is, lay aside everything that'll keep you from progressing and that will keep you from progressing at the right pace. More recent time, I've not just been saying, Lord, show me what your plan is. I've been saying, show me how to keep pace with you. And I don't want to get behind. Because there's more to it than just running a race. You have to be, I know, I ran sprints, it didn't matter, but marathons, you've seen marathons on TV. They have, you know, because the person that's running a marathon, a lot of times will have a team of people working with them. And they'll be at different stations on the course, and they'll clock them, like let's say it's a 25-mile marathon or whatever, and they'll clock them at maybe 5 or 10 miles or something, and somebody on their team will be over there, here you go, okay, and they get there, and they push the button, they say, you know, whatever minutes, and that in this person's mind lets them know whether they're going too slow or too fast. Isn't that right? And on God's, in the race that we're running, God's saying, okay, you're going to have to pick up the pace here. If you've ever heard that in your heart, know this, you can pick up the pace. You can pick up. If you've lost some time doing something other than God's plan, if you've lost time, you can make up time. You can make up time. Now, there comes a point if we've lost too much time, there's no way we're going to get across the finish line. But so it's not, so what I'm saying is, it's serious that we not dilly-dally, you know. Just, you know, well, I got all my 20s and 30s to just play games. No, you don't. No, you don't. All right. Okay. So what he's saying is, lay aside everything that slows you down. And the sins, not just weights. I mean, not just sins, but weights. So notice he said, the Lord said to me, an unrenewed mind is a weight. Now, why is that? This, and he told me why whenever he spoke to me. He said, an unrenewed mind makes the will of God heavy and a fight and a struggle. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, my goodness. An unrenewed mind, it'll keep you always fighting what comes up out of your heart. So rather than being on time with what God said, I want you to do this, we dilly-dally because our mind, I don't understand that. And we fuss about it. Our heads kick it out and don't want to accept it. And it slows us down. Amen. And the Lord's saying that to you and I. He brought this up in my spirit tonight at the last minute to talk about this. So what happens is, if we're going to be usable for God, we're going to have to renew our mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever heard that song, I give my life away? We used to sing it here. I said, stop. Stop singing that song. It misleads people. And they get all teary-eyed and emotional. I give my life away. It's all yours. I give my life away. And he'll say, okay, I'll take it. But I can't use you until you renew your mind. Now, why can't God use us until we renew our mind? I'll tell you why. Let's go over to Romans chapter number. We were in chapter 12. Go back to Romans 8. This is what come up in my heart. Tell the Lord, if you don't like it, tell the Lord, I didn't like what you said tonight, because he changed my sermon. Romans 8, verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh mind, or keep their minds on, the things of the flesh. They're ever mindful or ever conscious of what their flesh wants. That's called living in the flesh. Did you know the way you, what you're conscious of and mindful of all the time determines if you're in the flesh or the spirit? They that are after the flesh, he said, here's how to tell if somebody's in the flesh. They're ever mindful of the things of the flesh. Oh, I don't want to do that. What do you mean you don't? Who's you? Who's you? Huh? Got to ask yourself, who's me? Well, there's your own heart, and then there's your flesh, and then there's your mind. A lot of times when God speaks, we say, well, you know, like Jonah, we don't want to do that. It's our flesh that doesn't want to do it. All right, so, but they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. They're always mindful of what their flesh wants, or ever conscious of what their flesh wants. Hallelujah. That's something we're growing out of. They that are after the Spirit, now if you look up in verse 4, walking after the flesh or walking after the Spirit is the way to interpret this. They that walk after the flesh, they're ever mindful or conscious of the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, or they that walk after the Spirit, they are ever mindful, you could add in there, and conscious of the things of the Spirit. In other words, they're paying attention to what's coming up from the Holy Spirit into their spirit. They're not thinking about what their flesh wants. In fact, they say yes when their flesh goes, no, we didn't agree to that. We said, yeah, we did. You didn't get a vote. We did. My heart, and I agreed with it with my mind because I'm renewing my mind, it says, yep, we're doing that. And our flesh says, I don't want to. We say, shut up. Here we go. Here we go. You're going to learn to love it. Ha, ha, ha. Count it all joy. And so then verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's so much there I could get into, but I got to stay on course with what he said to me. For verse 8, they that are after the flesh cannot please God. No, I missed verse 7. Verse 7 is what I was looking for. For to be carnally minded is enmity. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That's what I wanted to get to. It's enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are after the flesh cannot please God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, whenever God's zigging, the carnal mind is zagging. I mean, it's just always bumping into, doesn't want to do what God in our spirit is telling us. Or the Word is telling us. It's enmity. Anybody that is at enmity is not in agreement. And you know the Bible said, Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So if the carnal mind is always going, yeah, whenever God's going this way, it's going another way. It's always fussing and pushing back and rebelling and, you know, that's going to slow us down and that's going to make us unusable. Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Somebody said, are you saying he doesn't love me? There's a difference between God loving us and being able to use us. If you need to, you guys, if you need to fix the plumbing under the sink and your 2-year-old wants to help and you say, honey, I'm sorry, you can't help here. Daddy's got to do this. Are you saying you don't love him?
No,
you're just saying, I can't use you.
Yeah, that's good.
You don't know what to do. You don't know how to do it. You don't even know how to run this tool, you know. You're not saying you don't love him. You're just saying you can't use him. And that's the way it is with God in a lot of situations. It's not somebody saying, oh, you're saying he doesn't love you. I didn't say he didn't love you. I didn't say you weren't valuable. I'm just saying, just that doesn't equal being usable. Amen. Now, he can't use us until we get our mind renewed, because if we don't think like he does, we'll not agree with him. Now, God can say, I want you to do this, and finally we get our mind renewed enough to say, okay, Lord, I surrender to that. But there's even more than just surrendering to what he wants us to do. How about surrendering to doing it the reason he wants us to do it? What do you mean? Well, let's say somebody's called to the ministry. When they finally surrender to that and agree with it, then they can go at it two different ways. They can do it for their own purpose or their own motive, or do it for God's purpose and his motive. Amen. They can do it. How many of you know they can say, okay, I'm going to make this a career. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to sell a lot of books. I'm going to do it. Wait a minute. Wait. You're going down the wrong. See, that's an unrenewed mind. That's an unrenewed mind. It's not only, maybe it's finally agreed for the with God for the plan, but the motive is still wrong. The purpose for doing it is still wrong. And that's slow, that's weight. That's hindering the anointing. Am I making any sense? Amen. So, Romans, put Romans 12, 1 and 2 together with Romans 8, 6 through 8. And you'll find that the work of sanctification that God does through the Spirit there in Romans 12, 1 and 2 is to bring that from, and then in Romans 8, 6 and 7 shows us why, to bring the believer into harmony with the will of God for his life. You know what I mean? In other words, bring them to the point of agreeing with God's plan. Because the unrenewed mind doesn't agree. The unrenewed mind says, no, I'm not doing that. I got my plans. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching. That's good preaching tonight. Hallelujah. Till we get our mind renewed, I'll say this. Another reason that an unrenewed mind makes us unusable to God is because the unrenewed mind has fellowship with wrong spirits. Yes, it does. And those wrong spirits will, the devil loves the unrenewed mind. Now, if somebody's going to get saved, he tries to hinder people getting saved, big time. But if they do get saved, then he's going to hinder their thinking. He's going to try to hinder their thinking. Because if they think wrong, the door is still open to him. In other words, the door's open to him to keep them out of the will of God. They'll think wrong about church. They'll think they don't need it. They'll think wrong about, just everything that he works in, all the people's crazy thinking out there. It's all to keep them out of the perfect will of God. Isn't that what Romans 12, 1 and 2 actually did say? That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This is a huge deal. It's a big deal. One of the biggest deals after a person gets saved is they start renewing their mind. Start renewing their mind. Now, that just simply means the fact that something needs renewed is it's a nice way for God to imply it's broken. It's not right. Tell your neighbor, uh-huh. That's a nice way of God saying it's messed up. Messed up. Just messed up. It's a mess. It needs fixed. Now that's the first thing we got to acknowledge. My thinking's wrong. Lord, help my thinking. It's messed up. My thinking's messed up. Sin messed me up. The world messed me up. The devil messed me up. The flesh messed me up. I think stupid and crazy, and it's keeping me from the perfect will of God. So for me to be usable, I've got to let God work on that. And the way he does that is through his word. Amen. So the unrenewed mind really yields to wrong spirits. The renewed mind only yields to the Holy Spirit. That's another reason God can't use a person with an unrenewed mind. Because, the other day, I was watching. I don't know how I got on it. There was a reason. I don't remember how I got on this. I was studying something. I got on a video on YouTube. This lady, she probably has a call to the office of the prophet. I see indications of that. However, her thinking about that office is messed up. I mean, messed up, up, up. Up in here, messed up. And she's holding classes, mentoring anybody that wants to come, how to flow in the prophetic and stuff. It was messed up. And I said, Lord, that's messed up, and I got off of it. And but the next morning, the Lord started talking to me about it. He said, there's so much he said to me. I got it all written down. I wish I could preach everything the Lord says. I'll preach it over some of it in Nigeria. He said to me, he said, people like that, I call them, but they won't go to the end. Yeah. He said that I can't honor and bless error like that. That's doctrinally error. That's error. You can't mentor people in the prophetic. I mean, if you got a call to it, you can come up under somebody else that's been used in that area. Yeah, but I'm talking about trying the whole body of Christ. That's asinine. God has set some in the church. prophets. Not everybody. So I'm going to mentor you how to have dreams and visions and how to see in the spirit realm. You're going to mess a bunch of people up. You're going to mess a bunch of people up. And so, but anyway, but why did I get on that? I don't remember how I got on that. But the point is that person will not, that, I remember how I got on that. That person will not fulfill the perfect will of God. Their ministry will be cut short. He said to me, those that are established in the word about their office, they'll go to the end. It's word and spirit. Word and spirit. Word and spirit. Amen. Well, tell your neighbor, I don't want to be messed up in here. So really, what a weight. I ran track, and you don't want to be wearing heavy clothes when you run track. You want to lay aside all those weights. And a weight slows down your progress. It's a hindrance. It's a cumbrance that keeps you from running at the speed you should be running at. It impedes progress in faith. Amen? And an unrenewed mind will do that. It'll slow you down because it'll balk at the light that comes up out of your spirit and what God's telling you to do. And because you can't figure it out, it'll say, I don't think so. But 2 Timothy 2:21, if you want to go over there, it's just wrote 2 Timothy 2:21. I'm not getting very far, but we'll shut down here in a little bit. 2 Timothy 2:21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Look at that. People want their life to be usable to God, but they don't realize that it requires them to sanctify themselves. Purge themselves from the world's way of thinking would be part of that. It'd be part of that. Isn't that right? And back up in verse 15, he talked about how to sanctify yourself. He said, study the word. That's going to renew your mind, isn't it? Study the word. Be a studier. That's something that people don't do today. They just, whatever comes in front of them, they think about it on the TV screen. You got to decide what you're going to study and think on and not let just whatever comes across your attention take your attention somewhere. You decide where your attention is going to go. It's discipline. It's controlling the thought life. And that could be something when it comes to the love walk. Your mind wants to go somewhere and think thoughts about people that didn't write. You get a hold of that. That's part of renewing your mind. You think only pure thoughts and lovely thoughts. You ever read that in Philippians? One of the criteria of what we think on is what's lovely. We think love thoughts. And so all these things are a work of sanctification to prepare us to be usable. Is that coming across? Are you getting what I'm talking about? And so part of this purging ourselves or this sanctifying ourselves, being usable to God, would be renewing our thought life to think right so that we're not zigging when he's zagging or thinking wrong. And our renewed mind happens through the word. That makes us fit for his use. Isn't that right? So the renewed mind, or let me put it this way, the unrenewed mind is a weight, and it makes the will of God heavy. It makes it a struggle. It's always a fight. God says, I want you to do this. He's always got a fight on his hands. We ought to be, he said, oh, okay. No fight. Just yieldedness. And that only happens with the renewed mind. Now, whenever he says something, we might not always understand it, but that's why the fight is because the mind, when it can't figure it out, wants to dominate the spirit man. Whenever the mind is renewed, the spirit man will dominate the mind. An unrenewed mind will not let the spirit take the lead on this. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit leading us through our spirits. The unrenewed mind will not let the Holy Spirit or the spirit, or our own human spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, take the lead on anything. Because I can't figure it out. So, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Won't let him take the lead. Can you see why we're unusable in that situation? The renewed mind doesn't let the Holy Spirit guide the spirit and let him take the lead. Well, and then so God's always got a fight on his hands. Well, can you see why after a while God would say, I don't have time for this. I got things I got to have done before Jesus comes back. I got the plan. I got to work this plan. And so that makes us unusable. Well, it's coming clear now. So the unrenewed mind is a weight. It makes the will of God heavy. It's always a struggle, always a fight. But the renewed mind makes the will of God light and easy. Isn't that good? If we don't get the mind renewed, it'll greatly slow down our race. And a lot of people never finish their course, and this is the reason why. Well, Hosea 4:6 says, my people, or let's go back there, if I just read it, make sure I'm saying it right, you know it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they've rejected knowledge. Not just, see, we read that and say, well, lacking knowledge is what hinders people or destroys them. Well, yes, but there's two reasons people are ignorant. I use that word not as a hard word. It just simply means lacking knowledge, you know. There's two reasons Christians are lacking knowledge. It's because either they've never been taught, amen, or they had the opportunity to learn it, but they rejected it. Now they're in the room of the unlearned. Now they don't know it, but not because that knowledge didn't come to them. All right, so, but he's talking here, my people are destroyed. Now the word destroyed literally, I mean, if you look it up, it means to cut down or cut off. To cut down or cut off. In other words, cut off from what? Cut off from what God was trying to do through that knowledge. Whether it be cut off from blessings or cut off from fulfilling that part of his plan, whatever it was that knowledge was going to produce in their life. Okay? Now, notice, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, not because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee. What's that sound like? Unusable. He didn't say they weren't saved. Now, this is Old Testament. He's not talking about salvation anyway. But if you run this through the cross, this doesn't keep people from being saved. A person can be saved and not accept the knowledge of the Word and renew their mind and go on with God. I've never wanted to come into the door. If you invite me over to your house for dinner, I don't want to come in the door, close the door behind me, and just stand the whole night up against the door. I want to come on in. Where's dinner? Where's dinner? Let's sit down on the couch by the fire and fellowship. Since winter's coming, you know. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's what Christians do. They come in to get saved, and then they don't go any further. They don't renew their mind. They don't present their body. They don't get the knowledge of God and so forth. They don't grow spiritually, and they don't enjoy all the blessings. And so they miss out. And so therefore they're not usable for God's plan. Didn't say they weren't saved, just not usable. And that's what he means here by I'll reject you. Amen. He talks about there, he's talking to the priest, that thou shalt not be priest. So this is pretty straight, and we got to be sober about this, don't we? Well, praise God. So like I said, it means that the word here, destroyed, means to be cut off or cut down. It also means, some translations will even translate it this way, to be undone, I believe. I'm trying to look for the right word. Something like that. Yeah, undone. To be undone. So what he's saying is this lack of knowledge is people's undoing. It's their undoing. It's what, notice the devil wasn't their undoing. He works, the way he does things is through ignorance. People that have knowledge, he can't do the same thing to the people who don't know. If I don't know, Pastor Debbie has, and I was just praying about this today, and the Lord was talking to me about it and encouraged me, actually. But she went through a season in the last 2 months, 3 months. Well, actually, it's been over 2 months. Attack after attack after attack on her body. Yeah. What most people don't realize was it was one of those things that most people would be laid up in the hospital for a week and a half. Right. Yeah. And she kept saying, Lord, I'll go to the doctor. And she didn't have peace about going to the doctor. But just attack after attack after attack. And she's getting on top of it. She's getting on the other side of it. But that, if she had not had the knowledge she has, that is the undoing of a lot of people. Amen. That a lot of people, that'd be the end of their, I mean, this kind of thing to take you out kind of thing. In fact, there was a night I got up in this and I was praying in the spirit. And it was one of those things like, all right, death, get out of here. I'm not trying to brag on the devil. I'm not trying to draw attention to that. I'm just simply saying it was no small thing. I think Teresa maybe had little knowledge of what was going on more because she's on staff. And but it was a serious deal. I said, no, I'm not going here. I mean, I was in agreement with her. But when I sensed that thing, like trying to lay hold of her to take her out, I'm like, no. But see, that would have been the undoing. But what I'm saying is that I'm using this verse. I'm illustrating this verse. But see, this is also the undoing whenever it comes to fulfilling God's plan. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. So what cuts them off? Was it the devil? No. No, he can't do that to people who have knowledge. He can't undo people who have knowledge. It's not the devil, it's their lack of knowledge or lack of doing it. Amen. And how do we get the knowledge? We renew our minds. This is all a mind renewal. Now, the mind renewal is to replace wrong knowledge with right knowledge. Somebody said, I'm not going to think about anything. That's pretty hard to do. It's not about not thinking on that. It's about replacing the knowledge. Taking on, how do you renew your mind? It's not by thinking nothing and say, I'm not going to think that wrong way of thinking. No, you have to replace it with the right way of thinking. The only thing that has the power to renew the mind is the Word, not the lack of thinking on anything. That doesn't have the power. I don't know if you got that or not. Praise the Lord. We're learning tonight. The devil is powerless against people who know. Amen. He either works through wrong knowledge of God or people's lack of practicing that wrong knowledge or walking in the light of it or standing for it. Pastor Debbie had to stand for what she knew. Hallelujah, she did. Praise God. Now, wrong knowledge can even be propagated from pulpits. There's things I got to turn off that's done in the name of Christianity. I mean, it's just wrong knowledge. It's not the knowledge of God's Word. Amen. But see, this is the way Satan works. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's also his strategy to cut you off from the plan of God. Not just the blessings of God, but the plan of God. Amen. Now, how God wants to use you to bless others, for example. He disqualifies you, or Satan disqualifies you, through holding you in ignorance of that plan, yes. Wrong or carnal thinking about it, he holds you in a state of being unusable due to the fact that your wrong thinking keeps you out of harmony with God or his plan. Romans 8:7, we said it, the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means it's hostile to God. Hostile to God. And the Word of God. Amen? Your wrong thinking or my wrong thinking holds us in a place of disagreement. Now, we can't close tonight without going to Job 22. You've been thinking about it all night. Job 22, verse number 21. King James says, acquaint now thyself with him, be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Amen. Remember the Amplified? Agree with God. Show yourself to be conformed to his will and be at peace. Agree with God. That's something you do with your mind. You say, I agree with that. I might not understand it all, but I decide to side in because my mind is not unrenewed and it's not kicking this out. An unrenewed mind kick it out, but the renewed mind says, I'll go along with that. Even though I don't understand, even though it wasn't my plan, even though it's not the way that I had it figured out, even though it doesn't make sense to my mind, I'll go along with that. You remember whenever I first came here, I used to say this a lot. I haven't said it for a while. But I learned in my life to say, now mind, I'm getting ready to do some things you're not going to understand. But you just come along for the ride. You might not understand, but you're going to get to the place you're going to eventually say, oh, this was great. We're glad we did this. You got to learn to do that, don't you? Amen. Job 22, 21. Agree with God. Acquaint now yourself. Agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to His will. Notice you won't conform to His will unless you agree. Now listen to this. In the Hebrew language of this verse, Hebrew, it says agree, or excuse me, acquaint. The word acquaint, translated acquaint in the King James, means to become, this is the Hebrew definition, to become knowledgeable with to the point that you harmonize with it in such a way that you become profitable, of service, and beneficial. Whoa, that's what I'm preaching. It's almost like that is the Bible that I'm preaching tonight. Acquaint doesn't just mean, okay, I'm acquainted with what God's saying to do. Or I'm aware of what God's saying to do. The Hebrew definition of acquaint doesn't mean just mean aware. It means to become knowledgeable with, that's the awareness, to the point that you harmonize with. No wonder the Bible, or Amplified said agree. Harmonize with it in such a way that you become profitable, of service, and beneficial. In other words, we're profitable to the work of God. We're of service to God. We're of benefit to God. He can use us. Well, how can you finish the service without preaching that? Hallelujah. In other words, a wrong thinking holds us in a place we're always in disagreement. That disagreement, in turn, keeps us from the blessings of God, because this verse said, thereby good, I don't have the Amplified in front of me, but it says good and blessings and prosperity will come to you. Remember that? Amplified. Well, then that disagreement gets us out of the will of God, which gets us out of the blessings. Mark this down. Don't ever forget it. You'll never win matching wits with God. He puts something in your heart and you go, I don't think so. I'm going over here. The way of the transgressor is hard, hard, hard. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't match wits with God. It'll be a great day in your life when you realize God's smarter than me. Amen. Amen. It'll be a big day. In fact, whenever you get to that day, you tell us, we're going to have us a party. You say, I know that. Well, it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to harmonize with it. It's another thing to walk in it. Did you get anything out of this tonight? If you learn to do this, you'll cease struggling in a lot of things in your life. Struggle comes from disagreement. Brother Hagin made that statement. He said it about ministers. In fact, I think I've got it written down here somewhere. He said about ministers that the reason a lot of ministers struggle is because they've not yet agreed with God. Well, yeah, here it is. Ministers don't succeed or prosper because they disagree with God. He wants them to pastor and they don't want to pastor. Or he wants them to travel and they don't want to travel. You know, whenever I traveled around the United States, about one out of it, this is my experience. You don't base doctrine on experience, but I'm saying probably my experience was about one out of maybe one out of eight, or let's just say two out of ten, maybe, of the people I preached for weren't called to pastor. And they were always struggling. I remember one of them, Dr. Dufresne eventually went to, I knew him, Dr. Dufresne went to him. And he came to me, Dr. Frank came to us after them, and he sat back here in the back room, and he asked me one Sunday morning, he said, you know, I was just over Pastor Brother So-and-so's church, yep. And he said, do you believe he's a pastor? I said, oh, Lord, thou knowest. I didn't want to answer. He said, no, I'm asking you. I said, what do you think, doctor? He said, I asked you first. I'm just, you know, the general's in town. The sergeant's got nothing to say, you know. He said, I'm asking you. I said, no, I don't believe he's a pastor. He said, I didn't think so. Well, those people struggle. Struggle. Struggle, 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 struggle. And they think it's the devil. No, they're struggling because they haven't agreed with God yet. Anyway, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.